It is 1 o'clock, and normally we talk to him at noon, but a little busy today on the first day down at Gillette Stadium. So Tom Curran joins us now here at 1 o'clock on the Harbor One Hotline. Tommy, brought to us by Dr. Matthew Lopresti at Leonard Hair Transplant Associates, the hair doctor of Tommy Curran at 1-800-GET-HAIR. By Awaken 180 Weight Loss, become your own success story by dropping the weight holding you back. It starts with just one call to Awaken 180. And by Unified Office, where they help businesses maximize every incoming call at unifiedoffice.com. Tommy Curran, good afternoon, friend. It has begun.
It has begun. Not in earnest, but it has begun. We are underway. How are you guys doing?
Good, brother. Is everyone present and accounted for of the New England Patriots, 90 that are supposed to be there? Has everyone checked in okay, to the best of your knowledge?
We're not going to be able to get eyes on these guys today. They're doing the conditioning run. We are kind of ensconced in our little media room here, so we don't have eyes on the players. I think the most noteworthy is Mike Reese reporting that Lawrence Guy is here. And Bill Belichick noting that not only is Trent Brown here, but he's ready to go and was here 4 days early.
Ooh.
We'll just kind of have to see who's not there tomorrow and what kinds of, you know, disrepair guys are in who didn't perhaps pass the conditioning runs.
Speaking of Trent Brown, like Gresh and I were just having this discussion about Trent Brown. It seems about time, you know, based on his contract, where he's at, what history tells us about how well he's going to play based on what his contract situation is that I feel like I've been ripping Trent Brown like crazy, but I feel like this is the year where he kind of like, you know, makes up for everything that he did last year, more importantly, because he wants another contract with somebody.
Yeah, whatever it takes, because he is, to me, you already know what you're going to get from Mac Jones in terms of a level of play. And I think performance and attention to detail, I believe. People might differ in their opinions on that. But with Trent, you don't. And whatever it takes for him, I think he's the most critical player on this offense. Because if you don't have left tackle sewed up, right tackle is already something that looks like they're trying to duct tape together. You have a second-year player who's a little undersized at guard, Mike Nwenu, starting out on the PUP list because of a knee surgery. You got to be able to look at one spot on your offensive line other than center and say, that's all set. And it would be great if it was left tackle, because he can hold the entire offense hostage if you're not able to protect Mac Jones and give him time.
Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston here with Gresh and Fourier. Football season has begun. What do you make of a guy like Jalen Hurd being brought in? Is this much ado about nothing? I only ask in part, Tommy, because it's another wide receiver to kind of throw on the pile of a wide receiver group that, at least to us on the outside, Fourier and I touched on this, it looks like four guys are pretty secure in roster spots, and then it's four other guys fighting for how many other spots on the roster?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much ado has been spent on it so far, but I look at it as, look at the dimensions of the player. 6'5", 229. So they're obviously looking at him as a player who can be a contested catch guy. You know, Jasicki brought in more almost as a wide receiver than a tight end in some ways. So that's a player who is, again, figures to be, because of his size, a little bit more of a tight end wide receiver hybrid, a contested catch guy. Parker, contested catch guy. So, look, Hurd really is a huge flyer, as I'm sure you guys have alluded to. Mm-hmm. Didn't play a snap after being a third-round pick of the Niners with the back and two knee injuries. Was out of football last year. But it shows, okay, these are the dimensions they're looking for. They're not looking for a slot. They're not looking for a 6'1 whippet. They're looking for a big dude to be a contested catch guy. Now, there was one of those who was on the market, but he recently signed with the Titans, but we've explored that.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm curious, put your head coach hat on. You're Bill Belichick. You're about to address the team for the first time. Everybody's together before camp starts. What would your theme message be to the team day one? Putting you on the spot a little bit, but what do you think, like, the most important thing would be, like, the message to this team moving, like, you know, start a camp, new season, new attitude, new everything?
Who do you want to be? Who do you want to choose to be? Do you want to choose to be a team that's undisciplined? Do you want to choose to be a team that does its own thing? Do you want to be a team that pulls in its own directions at different times and doesn't trust the coaching, even if the coaching wasn't great last year? Do you want to be seen as a team that's one of the most penalized and situationally inefficient teams in the league? Do you want to be seen as a team that can't rise to the occasion against better teams and only beats up on weak sisters? Or do you want to be a team that moves forward with a disciplined, situationally smart, cohesive plan that looks like it's moving together with a purpose? Or are you just going to be week to week and we don't know what we're going to get?
So
let's start forging our identity and consistency right now.
Do you think that there's going to be a greater emphasis on just intelligence as opposed to just physical ability?
I do. I think their attention to detail has to ratchet up in an extreme way. You know, last year, if we go back to it again, it was such a lost year, but there were occasions when players wanted to know the why of things, and they wouldn't, you know, they weren't able to be explained that, or they wouldn't. Defensively, when they were practicing against the offense, the players didn't know why they were doing things or what they were doing. And I think attention to detail, the details might not have been the ones that the players felt needed to be concentrated on. That last year's in the past, but I think Bill cannot afford to have a team that takes unforced error penalties the way it did last year. Can't be a team that is on third down in third and six, first of all, and then having wide receivers in the same area, second of all. And we saw that all the time last year. All the time. Just looked like route depth and positioning and timing was just a mess. So if you have to stay on page five of the playbook longer than you want to get it right, you might have to stay on page five.
Tommy Kern of NBC Sports Boston here with Gresh and Fourier, and we are talking football as camp has begun. Everybody will be down there in earnest tomorrow. We will be there on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday as well. Tommy, I don't want to sound hyperbolous, and I'm a guy who believes in Mac. However, is tomorrow a really important practice for Mac Jones to get 2023 right? Just in terms of reestablishing, setting the tone, is tomorrow a day where Mac's got to maybe kind of stand out a little bit if given the opportunity?
Monday is that day, because Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are OTAs. They have this ramp-up period in which the NFL and NFLPA has agreed that players are just going to not put on pads. They're going to go at a nice, tepid pace, controlled pace. There'll be no contact. So it's going to be just another passing camp. So to me, Monday is the day when the pots go on and there's competitive periods in which the defense is trying to stop the offense. And that might not even happen on Monday. But when the defense is trying to stop the offense and frustration creeps in because things don't go in a particular way, how does Mac respond? How much command does he have pre-snap in telling Juju, yeah, you got to be here, or Jasicki, you got to be over here, or all of those things are going to be important. How does he work with Bill O'Brien? Do they look like they're nodding after each play and saying that's what we were looking for? Or is Bill O'Brien kind of doing the waddle where he's shaking his head and saying that's not what we were trying to do? So I think it happens when the pads come on.
So we're talking to Tom E. Kern. Tom, so how much time do you give Bill O'Brien before he, like, loses it on somebody? Like, well, who's the first one to get hollered at? Like somebody's going to get yelled at. Like, it's maybe it is a Monday, but I have a feeling that, like, there's no more get-out-of-jail-free cards like that you get in OTAs. Young guys, you know, going into their second year, don't get the benefit of the doubt anymore. Like, all these coaches trying to, you know, implore their, you know, the mentality and their philosophy onto these guys. Like, do you think they're all going to have short fuses?
Yeah, I think it would be, my candidates would be the Tyquan Thorntons.
Okay.
The Kevin Harris's, the Pierre Strong's. And I'm not saying that they're error-plagued, but I think you have to have expectations for these second-year players that they're going to be on it. I know Keyshawn Booty got an absolute ripping during minicamp. We're not supposed to repeat things that were said, but, you know, he's not going to soft-pedal things, and I think that's great. And I hope he gets on the offensive line, too. And I hope he gets on veteran receivers like Smith-Schuster and Devontae Parker and Jasicki and guys who are coming in who should be up on the level of concentration, focus, and consistency that you need. Because it can't it just can't look as disorganized as it did last year. And he's going to be a big quality control specialist, I think.
Tommy, is Ty Montgomery factored in more at running back than maybe we think? Because I see Ramondre. I see two guys that we don't know about yet in Kevin Harris and Pierre Strong. J.J. Taylor is a nice try-hard, but the guy hasn't been able to stick. And that leaves the veteran as Ty Montgomery. They feel light at running back going into the year. How do you think this situation all plays out? Because there are a couple different roads the Patriots can go if they want.
Yeah, I think he is the top of the depth chart as your sub back right now, just based on what we saw during mini camps, based on his performance last year in training camp, preseason, and then the first game of the year. But just, he's so injury plagued. But I would think that he is your sub back. He is your James White. And they're hoping for that to happen. And if it does, that's awesome. I just, when you look at his track record, it's very hard to count on double-digit games from Ty Montgomery. So, but hopefully he can, because, you know, he looks good and looks the part and is extremely smooth as a receiver, as we've seen since the time he was back with Green Bay.
It kind of feels like with the way the position group is layered and all the free agents that are out there, that if they wake up on August 22nd and realize, nah, we need a back, that they feel confident they can get somebody and integrate them. Is that crazy to think?
Yes. Well, it's funny because Phil Perry keeps saying, and he's doing it on a lark too, but who will be Ramondre Stevenson's backup? And he keeps saying Leonard Fournette. And it makes some sense. They've shown great interest in Fournette in the past. He's at a stage where he might be hanging out there. He's not going to ask for a whole bunch of money, but he would be a very good compliment. He's a good pass-catching back, even though, if for some reason, I know he had a lot of catches with Tampa, but don't you remember him just dropping pass after pass sometimes?
Well, I feel like he had, like, I mean, he got a lot of targets and, like, maybe 70 catches. So
Other than Tom Brady down there, it felt like that offense was being run by Matt Patricia at times last year.
Yeah, and I would say this, though. It's not like he's, like, a skilled route runner. Like, I would put him as outlet only, like, personally. Not, listen, whoever watched
all
of
it.
No, he's got good. Yes, and there's always that. Last one for me. Will Jack Jones talk to the media at all?
I mean,
eventually, right?
Yeah, eventually. I mean, that's kind of, as you know, as well as I do, it's kind of contractually obligated that you have to do it once. Especially, you know, you can't really hide them, even if they're, you're not supposed to hide them if they're rookies. But, at some point before August 18th, which is his court date, I would imagine that he will be brought out to speak to the media and say can't comment on the ongoing situation and perhaps issue some kind of an apology for the distraction caused.
There you go. We'll see if he shoots off his mouth at some point during camp. Too soon? Thank you. Tommy? Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston. We'll see you down there tomorrow, brother. Thank you.
All right. Look forward to it. See you guys.